Molly Basler, Living the Green Dream, and How to Run a Sustainable Campaign, Episode 23, Tiny Climate Challenge Podcast.
I'm Maella Manassian, your host on the Tiny Climate Challenge Podcast. This is a podcast for busy people who want to save the planet by completing one simple eco challenge at a time. Let's do this. Please visit tinyclimate.com to access all episodes, show notes, freely subscribe, and contact us. Now, for the first time in my life, I truly believe my dreams are possible,
Hi there, my name is Maella Manassian, and I'm your host of Tiny Climate Challenge. The topic of our podcast today is all about green and sustainable campaigns. And I am super excited today because I've invited my new best friend, Molly Basler. She's my guest expert, and she's here to talk to us about her exciting new campaign that she's going to be running for Los Angeles City Council in District 5. And Molly, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself to our listeners?
Hi there, everyone. I'm so honored to be on this podcast. And once again, my name is Molly Basler. I am running for LA City Council District 5, and it's far out. It's not until 2022, but I'm gearing up my campaign already. I go downtown on September 8th to register, take the pledge, and then I can start raising funds. And what I'm doing as a climate reality leader, as an environmentalist and an activist, I'm going to take the pledge to run a green and sustainable campaign. So I'm not just talking about the climate emergency. I'm walking. I'm a living action. I live and breathe, and I do what I ask the community to do. There's nothing that I ask people that, you know, to change their actions that I don't do myself. So my campaign will be, it will look like I will have no plastic. You're not just going to come to an event and have plastic bottles. I'll have clean canteens with my logo on it that people can give a donation. I'll have hydration stations because plastic is fossil fuel. Less paper. I'm going to use a Union green printer for all my handouts, but I want to try to use more light sources, like Batman lights, they're called. So I'll have one up on a high rise in Westwood on Wilshire Corridor, you'll see. And then it will, at events, instead of a bunch of posters, it's so wasteful, I'll have light sources. And then vegan options, mostly vegan options and vegetables at my gatherings. I'm not going to shove anything down people's throat, except I'm going to be an example. So people can go, oh yeah, if she can do that, I can do that. And hopefully other candidates will follow suit.
This is so exciting because I've been politically active myself, was thinking of running for public office at one time, actually ended up becoming the director of a meditation center instead, may decide to come back around someday and run for public office.
Yeah.
But in any case, it's so great to meet candidates like yourself that are really interested in being sustainable and that care about the planet. What inspired you to do this work? Because you're really putting yourself out there.
It's funny, not funny, but sometimes I think, oh my gosh, am I doing, you know, I get nervous. I'm going into things that I haven't stepped into before, but I do feel it is my life's work. And how it happened is I was a meditation, yoga, vegan cooking coach. I worked with clients to better their health. I then went to Pittsburgh and became trained by Al Gore as a climate reality leader. And then I started to put it together. How can I ask my clients to eat right, to do exercise, to think, but their planet is dying? And then I put it all together, that the most urgent need is our planet. And this is our house. We live here. So our house is on fire. What can we do? So I just got more and more involved. I joined my neighborhood council. I joined my local Democratic club. I launched the Green Dream campaign a year ago, trying to greenanize the whole Democratic Party so they actually follow their platform. And now I have a podcast. And then it made sense. The next step was, how can I reach a bigger audience? And that was running myself. So I thought, this is what I'll do. And then I'll write also a pamphlet or a small book about how to run a green campaign. And then I can offer that, whether I win or lose, I want to offer something to make our community a better place, thusly the world, because it's all linked together.
That is brilliant. And I can't wait to see what you come up with, because I think it's interesting. I guess I noticed it, but I hadn't really thought about it. It didn't bug me enough that I was like, something more needs to be done. So I'm so grateful that you've actually stepped up and said, no, we can be better about how we campaign, about when we meet as sustainable communities, walking the talk. So let's get into all that. You mentioned you have a Green Dream podcast, which you recently launched, and I listened to a few of your episodes, and they're fantastic. So thank you. So I'm always so excited when I get to meet other new podcasters, but especially female podcasters. And I'm sorry, I didn't ask your pronouns. Are we good with she, her?
Yeah, yes. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So I should just say other female podcasters, and especially podcasters who care about the environment. I think we need to start talking about this more and more. So tell us, what is the Green Dream podcast all about?
Okay, the Green Dream podcast is about creating the Green Dream. Like I always say, in our community, my little yard outside of my house, my neighbors, how can I help my neighbor? Because it's all connected. Because if my community is green, the next community may take that action. And then the next community, and then we have the whole state, and then we have the whole country. And one thing I think that's so important about our political leaders is people see that. They'll go, well, if my mayor isn't green, if he's not driving an electric car, or he doesn't have solar panels, or he doesn't eat for the environment, or he uses plastic, then they don't listen. People shut those things out. When they see someone, a leader, walking the walk, it makes a huge difference, I'm telling you. So the Green Dream is about that. And when I launched the Green Dream campaign for the Democratic Party, and it's not just about Democrats, that's where I started. This is for everybody. It's all inclusive. I just happen to be a Democrat, and that's where I started because that's where I was involved in. But I'm hoping to reach Republican clubs and independents, and because this is an action that we all must take. We all live here, whatever color we are, whatever political party we belong to. And I launched the Green Dream, focusing on the Democrats. Several of the clubs took the pledge. I have a pledge. Now I'm writing a resolution. And so then it was like, oh yeah, now then I had a podcast. So asking people to take action, trying to have people listen, learn, and inspire them to change. What can I do? I noticed you had tweeted about actions. Today, I read a tweet that people are willing to take action. Ride your bike more. Don't buy plastic. I think plastic is really detrimental. Obviously, it's choking off our waterways, and it is fossil fuel. And the more electric cars we use, the more the fossil fuel industries are amping up their plastic production. I think there's 5 new plastic plants in
business.
It's just unbelievable. Get an electric car, get solar on your panel, do what you can do today. Go to farmers markets and meet the people who are growing your food. Bring reusable bags. And I know in this time of COVID, we have to try though not to just let everything go. Use more plastic, use this, use that, because then we're just going to backtrack. We have been driving less, so I'm sure our carbon footprint has been balanced out, but we are using more plastic.
It's driving me crazy.
I know. I'm so fanatical. I go to my grocery place. I don't use any plastic bags. I try to buy nothing in plastic. I put everything in the cart. I don't use, and then I take it to my car because they don't allow me to bring my reusables in.
Right.
And then I bag everything in my car and then take it home. So
well, good for you. Yeah, because my husband does most of the shopping for us, and he's been coming home with a lot of plastic bags, and it drives me absolutely crazy. So that's good to know. There's an excellent tip for our listeners in California. I don't know how it is everywhere else in the world right now with COVID, but in California, they're bagging our groceries in plastic bags again. And as you just mentioned, Molly, you can just have them put your groceries right back in the cart.
Yeah.
And then you take the cart out to your car or your bike or whatever you came to the store with and put them in your own bags. And then that's a way that we can continue to minimize our use of plastic bags.
And even the paper bags, you have to remember that is a tree. And that's so important to try to find. We were talking about that early in a town hall, the sacredness of every person, every animal, every tree, every flower. And that trees, we need as many trees as we can on this planet. They take carbon out of the atmosphere. And use recycled toilet paper. Use recycled paper towels.
Are there specific brands that you really enjoy?
I use Seventh Generation. Or if whatever is up there on the thing, as long as it's recyclable, and I won't buy it unless it's recyclable. I'll just find something, a tissue. And Al Gore put it so beautifully, it's the inconvenient truth. And sometimes we have to be inconvenienced. I don't enjoy putting my groceries in this thing, but I'll do it because that's the inconvenient truth that it helps the planet. And some people go, oh, I don't like recycled toilet paper or paper towels. The fact is, though, we've got to save our forests. So each little action creates a bigger action. And then if we all did it and stopped using plastic, we'd show the fossil fuel industry that they can't do what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. It's true. They're starting to realize these things because when we stop driving, guess
yeah.
what? The cost of fossil fuels tanked. Wow, they were in some real dire straits there for a couple of weeks. Unfortunately, people are getting back onto the roads and stuff now, but I think we've seen what collective action can do.
Yes.
Yeah. Tell us about your Green Dream Pledge that you developed. I think this is so exciting.
Okay. I had these cards. This is all on recycled paper, soy ink. So I had everybody at this event take the pledge. We were going to have another event, but COVID happened because we were going to do another Green Dream, circling back around to see what the clubs were doing. A lot of them have gone plastic free. So this is the pledge, and we all took it, and we all put our hands on Al Gore's book, Inconvenient Truth. It was really cute, instead of the Bible.
I love that idea.
So the Green Pledge. I pledge to the earth for which I live and all of her inhabitants. I will live sustainably, renewably, 100% committed, and do all that I can to help with the climate crisis and not add to the degradation of our planet. We will move forward together, helping each other, supporting one another to move into a bright green dream future for which we all deserve. One planet under the power of all of us, with clean air, clean land, environmental justice, clean water for all.
That's fantastic. Thank
That's you.
Thank all right, you. I've officially taken the pledge. I raised my hand. So now we got to hold each other accountable.
And you can go to www.greendreamcampaign.com, and the pledge is up there. You can print it out. And also I ask people, like, take it to your clubs. It doesn't have to be a Democratic club. It can be the Sierra Club or a book club. And take the pledge. And then I also have the Green Code of Ethics, which we've now changed to Green Code of Sustainable Actions. So we have some actions you can take to make your clubs, to make your community better and greener and more sustainable. And what, when you said that about the Sierra Club, it's interesting because the Sierra Club does not have green and sustainable events. And they are the Sierra Club.
Uh-oh. Well,
so
if anyone
I've been trying to do that.
If anyone can help them out, I'm sure you can. And maybe we'll get them to start by taking that pledge.
That's true.
So I just realized there's a lot of different things that we can do. You mentioned clubs and what have you. There's high school sustainability clubs that could certainly embrace this Green Dream Pledge. I am on a steering committee for Buddhist meditation centers worldwide.
Oh, that's
cool. It's called Shambhala Touching the Earth Collective. And what we're working on is greening our meditation centers. The actual facilities themselves, but also the education and the engagement opportunities that we provide too. We're taking a really holistic approach to this, but I was just thinking everyone on our team should take this green dream.
Oh, that'd be great.
Well. Yeah. So see what you started?
Oh, good. Thank you. Yeah. And then you can go to the website, get this printed out on recycled paper, or just send it to people as a PDF. And then everybody can do it and take the actions, and which yeah. I know you already know a lot of the actions anyway.
Are you referring to the 9 sustainable actions?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Why don't you tell us about those?
One is single-use plastics gone. No more plastic at the events or anything. You just don't support sustainable venues. Find places that are green and sustainable. Hotels. There's a great one. Well, I'm here in Southern Cal. There are places now that are green and sustainable. Restaurants. So find venues that do that, are green and sustainable. Support those. Printing. Find green printing places. And you can just Google those. I have a great one, Autumn Press in Berkeley, and their union, because a lot of political people want the union.
Yes.
But there is a guy here in Venice. So you can find them. Green printing, and then try not to print so much. That's why we have now tablets. Send things on, and people use their iPhones, their iPads, computer. I know the neighborhood council that I belong, nobody uses paper anymore. They all just are on their tablets, sending things. So, and it's the new way. We've got to collect waste, compost. If it's actually food waste, paper waste, we need to recycle. But what I'm trying to get is we have no more waste. We become so self-contained. We don't have any more waste. And if we do, it's compost. So that goes back to the earth. Offer vegan and organic options. That was a big one. Organic, also good food, healthy body, healthy planet, healthy everything. And offering vegan and less meat and dairy, and asking people to maybe have a meatless Monday. And like I said, go to farmers markets. They use less plastic. You meet the farmer. Yeah. You're supporting locally. It really helps the economy. Take public transportation, carpool, and ride your bike, which I do around here. I run all my errands on my bike. I just love it. I have a big basket. Merchandise. This is for clubs that have buttons or flyers or anything. They have green swag. Yeah. You just Google it, and there are companies doing green swag. Education. At every club, whether it's a high school sustainable club or a book club, you have someone who is the environmental chair, who oversees all of this, and she or he can learn more and then help the group follow lead. And then I appoint an environmental chair. So I just overlap. That to me is part of education. Those are the green sustainable actions. And now I've written a resolution to actually implement the Green Dream sustainable actions into the Democratic platform, the California Democratic platform. You have to go, you have to read the platform. They say a lot of verbiage about climate and environment and helping, yet they're not doing it. They're not doing it at any of their events. So I'm trying to remind them what we need to do as a party, because nothing changes until we change, and we change as a group.
I think that's fantastic. And I think it's a great reminder of there's personal day-to-day things that we can all do, like use less plastic, ride your bike instead of drive, all these different actions that we can take. And then there's other actions that people can take to go a little bit further. And so that's what I love, is that you're demonstrating, you're a perfect example of how you've changed, become more sustainable in your own life, but then you're also branching out and trying to get other organizations to be more sustainable in the activities that they do. And you mentioned the importance of finding green and sustainable venues and restaurants. And I guess some people might be saying, well, how do I know? There's venues that are LEED certified, LEED, which you can very easily ask if they're LEED certified, or just do some internet research. And then you can also, I know here in San Diego in particular, and I think this is true of most places in Southern California, there's the Surfrider campaign. They have an ocean-friendly restaurant. So Surfrider organization has an ocean-friendly restaurant campaign where they certify restaurants who choose to be sustainable in their business practices. And so that's a great way to just ask the restaurant, are you ocean-friendly certified? And a lot of times they're excited to share this information with people. And so they post that information on their websites, and they have a sticker that they can put in their window and that kind of stuff.
And you can go to, once again, www.greendreamcampaign.com. And under resources, I have tons of green, sustainable businesses, where to get this, where to get that. You can find everything up there, from straws to how to get off plastic. My friend has a green and sustainable hotel in Santa Monica. There's tons now. Now, I shouldn't say tons, but there are a lot more. Vegan restaurants are much more sustainable, or at least offering vegan options. So there are a lot of resources. And I just want to add something too, that I was not always like this. I think
you were born like this.
Well, yeah, because people think, oh, you can do that, I can't do that. Mm-hmm. I was raised in a Republican, overconsumption, over the top everything. It was also a different time, but still, the climate crisis was upon us. I never even heard of it. I was very disconnected. Mm-hmm. I was more in the Hollywood scene, but I came around and I had this wake-up call, and that was actually almost 14 years ago. I always think, if I can do it coming out of the background, and I'm the only one in my family, my brothers aren't doing anything. They're still the same. They're like my parents, whom I loved, and they were great people, but in certain ways they weren't progressive. Mm-hmm. So if I can do it and come out of that background and see anybody can, and then really get compassionate about our environment, about each other, that we care mm-hmm. about our neighbor, it really does come from a sense of love. That real action, the verb, get into action, is really about love our neighbor as thyself, help each other, help the planet, and it all comes together.
Yes. Yeah. I often like to share with folks that I think climate action is an act of love.
Right.
That's fantastic and very inspiring. And I think another great reminder for folks, because there is so many things that we need to do and that can be done, that people often get overwhelmed and they just don't get started at all. So my advice to folks who are curious is just get curious, first of all. Like, what is it that you care about? And then start to do a little bit of research around what the issues are there and what they can do to get involved. Because not everybody is going to want to do all of the sustainable actions that need to be done to save our planet. Unfortunately, I wish everyone would. I have a dear friend and fellow climate reality leader, Jill McIntyre, which she likes to say, we need everyone doing everything at all times, everywhere at all times. It's true, we do. However, we have to be realistic about the fact that not everyone is quite there just yet. And that was the actual inspiration for me to launch Tiny Climate Challenge, is recognizing that even tiny changes can make a big difference.
Right.
A cumulative big difference. But we need to all get started somewhere. So I always just tell folks, start where you're at. What do you care about? Do you care about eating good food? Okay, shorten your food chain, like you mentioned. Shopping at farmers markets is great. But also try growing your own fruits and vegetables and herbs. We're doing that here. I'll probably be posting these things to my Twitter account in the next week or so. But I've been regrowing my own vegetables from vegetables that I bought at the store. And so, like, you just chop off the tips of your green onions and then you just place those in water and you can regrow new green onions from the tips that you didn't even use. Yes. Really easy and super fun. I've been regrowing my own lettuce as well. And so I have my own little garden experiment going right now. And it starts on my kitchen countertop. And then when they start to sprout a little, then I go and I plant them. And I have a little planter in the yard that I started.
Then you compost in that garden?
So I'm temporarily living in a new place right now. So
right.
I don't have, I would love to compost. It was something I was doing at my house before I came here. But yeah, that's another great tip, because folks can easily start their own home compost bin as well. And I hope that by the time I leave here, I will actually have a compost set up, because it's just throwing all that waste, food waste, into the trash drives me crazy.
Yeah, I don't have that either yet, because I don't live on my own property yet. So when I get back to my property, I want a garden and then fertilizing it. I have to learn all that too. So yeah. It is baby steps and things that you can do. And I think one of them is, if you can get an electric car, great. If not, eat less meat, use less plastic. Those are little things too. And they're fun. Riding the bike is fun. I love
riding my bike. Reminds me of when I was a kid.
I know.
You had the ultimate freedom to just go where you wanted. And I don't know about you, but back then I didn't have cell phones growing up. I was that generation just before all this technology took over. And when I was gone, I was out with my friends. I don't know how my parents ever would have found me anywhere, because I could have been anywhere and I would just take off. So I loved exploring. And I was not the type of kid that stayed close to home. But anyway, riding my bike was like the ultimate freedom.
Yeah, and I think it's important too. I just thought of this action. Like, I think living in cities, we lose our connection to nature. Mm-hmm. I think it's important to go out. If you're near, even a park is a little controlled environment, but still, it's something to reconnect you. Or go to, I'm near Runyon. Like, I'm going to the beach tomorrow. I went last week. I get up early. I take my dogs out. And I hadn't been to the beach in a couple of years, and it just shifted my perspective. And so it just reconnects us. We have to reconnect to in nature to see how important it is, because then we want to protect it. So take those times and reboot yourself, especially in this time of COVID. Go out and sit under a tree and look at the flowers and go to the beach and reconnect. And then you'll see, oh, wow, I love this. I need to protect it, because we protect what we love.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a really good point. As it relates to your sustainable actions that people can take and creating sustainable campaigns and events, I was also thinking about one of the things I love doing as a political activist and supporter is putting lawn signs out on my front yard to let folks know who I love and support.
Yeah.
But one of the things that kills me is that they're not all recyclable. And so you end up with all this plastic waste at the end of every campaign. And so there was a local city council member. She's actually still, her name's Corey Schumacher. And she was our council member and she ran for mayor. And what she did is she had a bunch of leftover signs from when she ran for council member. So
she
was elected to our city council. And then I don't know if you know this, but I used to work for municipal government. And oftentimes people will put their signs in city right-of-ways where they're not meant to be. And so the city actually has a code enforcement department that will go out and pick up all of the illegally placed campaign signs. And then they'll call the person who's running for elected office and say, hey, we have your signs. Would you like to come get them? This is how they did it at my city.
And
I don't know if they do this in every city, but it is nice actually that you can come get your signs back if you want to, because they're expensive. So in any case, she had a bunch of leftover signs from when she ran for city council and won, and she was now running for mayor. And so what they did is they blocked out for city council, and then they just stickered over and said for mayor. And so she reused so many of her prior
signs.
That's
great.
Yeah. So I thought that's a brilliant way. And I think she even had a contest to get like an art making contest to see who could get most creative and remaking signs for her. Unfortunately, she did not win for mayor, but thank goodness she is still on our city council. But in any case, I thought that was a brilliant idea, but I also would love to see signs that can easily be recycled somehow.
Well, my green printer, I've already checked with them. They'll make my yard signs out of recycled material. I also want to get a group like Sunrise Movement, Climate Reality, like to do an art day and take cardboard from Amazon, all their boxes, and make signs, and then recycled wood. I don't need a bunch of pretty signs. It just needs to get the message. We're so used to, as people, especially in this country, that things have to look a certain way.
Yes.
I'm trying to get away from that. So my yard signs will be made from recycled material, and hopefully, like at all the marches now, the environmental, everybody makes their own out of cardboard. That's what I want my yard signs to look like. And then we'll make a stencil and we'll use green paint and they'll be fun. So that's what I want to do. And I have my campaign consultant. He said, Molly, it's probably going to be 85% green, because I know there's going to be certain things where I won't be able to find a green venue, or I won't be able to do something that's perfectly green, but I'm going to try to do 85% to 90% green and sustainable.
I think that's fantastic. You are certainly walking your own talk there. Yes, I can tell. You've taken the pledge and you're living it. So I'm curious, because I sometimes wonder, and I've served on political endorsement committees where candidates have come to take, for instance, the Sierra Club. I served on their political endorsement committee, and candidates have come and have said, I'm a sustainable candidate, and these are all the things that I care about and that I want to do. But I think it's important for all of us to do our homework when we're vetting candidates. So what do you do? Tell us, what's your process? How do you know if a candidate is really and truly an environmental candidate or not?
Yeah, I'm on the political committee too of Sierra Club now. So I have noticed, though, sometimes they don't endorse the best green candidate. They endorse, I don't want to get into that, but I never endorse a candidate that isn't green. And what I do is I look at their actions. And it might take a little bit more time, but you know, you have to see not just who endorses them, but how are they moving through the world? What are they doing outside? How are they living their lives? That's how we've got to get to now. That's what the world is crying out for. I mean, these marches in the street and so forth, it's justice for all. All the George Floyds, all the Blacks who live in these environments. So it's justice, financial justice, educational, environmental. We have to also be leery of the political politician who's going to say anything to get reelected. And what are the bills they pass? What did they support? And someone like me, I'm grassroots. I've never run before. I'm like fresh out of the block. So I don't come from that. I'm not a career politician. I'm really doing it for the greater good. And we need more people like that. There's a gentleman who's running for the mayor of Berkeley, Wayne Chung. He is an environmentalist, animal activist. So he is running. There's another guy, animal rights. And so it includes all, because if you're fighting for that, you're fighting for the planet and the people. So you see their statements. What do they stand for? But then check, are they really living that? Because there's some candidates that are endorsed who really aren't green and sustainable. I hate to say it, but they're getting shuffled through because they're really the candidate who people want to win. There's some candidates who got endorsed who are taking money from SoCal Gas. Uh-oh. I mean, and they're considered green. And then the woman who was not taking any, who was really green, she didn't get the endorsements and didn't make it to the runoffs, which are taking place in November. So, but that's what I'm saying. We've got to try to make a new way for a new tomorrow, because obviously our old way isn't working. How many times do we have to bat our head against the wall? It's not,
just like that. Painful, everyone.
I pulled my headphones off. So look for the new voices. Look for the new ideas. Check it out. They might get endorsed, but they might be bypassing. I asked a gentleman who was running for Glendale City Council, and I said, so did you run a green campaign? And he's like, I'm getting elected so I can pass green legislation and green this. I said, no, we have to be examples. I'm just here to try to make the message louder and be a real green candidate to say, hey, this is possible. Join me. And maybe, hopefully, then all the candidates become green and sustainable. And they run green campaigns. Wouldn't that be amazing? And we actually do go into the Green New Deal and we get rid of fossil fuel.
I love it. You're a real force for green.
I even wear it.
Yes. So that brings me to another. I've seen a couple of candidates in prior elections who've stated in their social media or even publicly that they don't accept fossil fuel money. And I think that's really important too, because oftentimes we don't know where candidates are getting all their funding from. And so I always appreciate it when a candidate is just honest and tells it.
Right. And there's also, you can look things up. There's a wonderful environmentalist, R.L. Miller, who runs Climate Hawks. She's head of actually the Environmental Democratic Caucus. She is a climate hawk. She will find out who's taking fossil fuel money, and she puts it all over social media. So you can look that up also too. But yes, and all candidates should be very honest about that if they can be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things I love about your podcast is something that I also have implemented here on my podcast, which is to offer a tiny climate challenge, a tip or an action, something to help engage our listeners that they can all do. And so I'm just curious, what challenge would you like to offer to our listeners today?
I'd like to ask everybody to vote in November. I think that's one of the biggest actions. Make sure you're registered. You want to change things, vote for candidates that are going to make a difference. Because we can march all we want in the streets. We can yell and scream and tear things down, but nothing is going to change until we have leaders that speak the voice of the people, for the people, by the people. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous that we have leaders that hide in their white privilege while people are marching through the streets and they don't come out and greet them and talk to them. I mean, I find that to be outrageous. But so my action is asking for people to vote, get involved, and also get involved in your community. Look up who's running, vote for people who care about people. Care about the planet, care about all of it, to make better lives, who aren't racist and who really want to better the world that people live in. You can tell who that is, and don't get caught up in the rhetoric. That's what we do. We get caught up in the rhetoric and then we lose sight. But I think there's going to be more and more candidates that are coming up who aren't career politicians. I mean, look at AOC. She's a prime example of that. The congresswoman from New York and the Bronx. She's a prime example. She was a bartender. She, you know, she ran because she cared. And so you got to keep that going. And think about that's one. So, but
one of the most important ones.
Right, right. So we've got to get more, especially here in California, we're the blue state. We're supposed to be progressive. We've never even had a female mayor. So
in Los Angeles, yeah.
Right. So we got to make it green. We got to get green candidates, people who really care. And that comes from a place of the environmental world, the activists. And we need, I was saying, we need more climate leaders running. We need to get more climate reality leaders running for office.
Yes. Do you want to talk about what Climate Reality is?
Yeah. Climate Reality is an organization that was founded by Al Gore, former VP of the United States of America. He's a great environmentalist. And it was in 2006, he started the climate. I think there were 50 people. Mm-hmm. And he trained them to go out and give a presentation, slideshow presentation to inspire people. And thusly, now 2020, it's grown.
There's over 20,000 of us worldwide.
Yeah. Why don't you take it? You probably know a little bit more than I do.
I only brought it up just to mention that Climate Reality exists and that it's a wonderful organization for folks like us who care about the environment. And actually, I'm going to just really quickly, at the power of the internet here, look at their mission statement. I think I've shared it before, but this way we can just share it again. So their mission is to catalyze a global solution to the climate crisis by making urgent action a necessity across every sector of society. And so that's what I love about them, is that their tent is big and anyone is welcome to join to get trained. They have a training that's coming up. You and I are on a Climate Reality Facebook page. That's how we met. It's something about my podcast, and you reached out to me and you said, hey, I have a podcast. And we had a really fun conversation around that. And here we are today. I think I always tell people it's a great opportunity for you to join folks who are in your tribe, because there is so much divisiveness, unfortunately, polarization around science, around the environment, and unnecessarily, I think. But in any case, this is a great opportunity for folks who care about the environment to come together and talk about what you love and the best ways that you can reach out and really inspire other people and share the love with everyone on the planet. That's my plug for Climate Reality.
And I think also Climate Reality, though, is branching out. So instead of, before it used to just be around the slideshow, people would go show the slideshow, educate people, try to inspire them to shift and become green and sustainable. But now we're doing so many other things the climate leaders have gotten involved in, and especially the political. We have a legislation committee which just works on things like that. So I'm chair of the Wetlands Protection Committee. So I'm protecting the Biona Wetlands and the Los Cerritos. So it's going past and beyond now, I think, the slideshow. And those are great. You do those, but all also adjunct. There's so many things. There's so many ways to get involved, which I've already talked about ad infinitum.
Yes. They call them all acts of leadership. And I'm just so impressed with you and all the many wonderful acts of leadership that you're involved in. the fact that you're a wonderful example of what more we can do. Because I think everyone needs to start at the very basic level, minimizing plastic and walking or biking more, doing these things for ourselves. But then I think there's things that we can do for our community and our world. And so what I love about you is that you're involved in those community groups and you've been involved with campaigns and now you're launching your own campaign and you're encouraging people to get out there and vote. And thank you so much for coming on the show today and
thank you
for being such a force for green in the world. I know my dad lives in your district, actually, Los Angeles City Council District 5. And so I can't wait for him to call you his next city council member.
Oh, cool. So, and then maybe he'll give me a fundraiser.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
I'm kidding. That's down the road.
We can certainly work that out. We're happy to support you. Is there any like last final things that you want to share with our listeners before we head out?
I just want everybody, first of all, I hope everyone is safe. And to know that it can look overwhelming, it can look daunting, the climate emergency, but don't let that stop you. Like we talked earlier, sometimes we think, oh, that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, but it does. So it all matters. And whatever you can do, the tiny climate challenge is do that and then do it again and then add something onto that and vote. And then we can do it together, onward together. I think that is so important to know that we're not alone out there with this huge climate crisis coming, rearing its ugly head. It already is there. But the hope is we can do something about it. And it's up to us. And then get leaders who reflect our ethical, our moral codes about planet, taking care of each other, taking care of the whole thing. Because we're all a species living here and, you know, it is our home. So we've got to take care of it. And as, what does Al Gore say? We're not going to go to Mars because Mars is unlivable.
True. And if we can't even take care of this planet, right, how do we have to take care of any others?
Right.
Sorry, yeah. I added that on. You are just such a delight, Molly.
Thank you.
For our listeners who want to stay in touch with you, they can follow you at you have a website, greendreamcampaign.com, and a Facebook page, and a Twitter at greendreamcamp1.
Yep.
So definitely stay connected. She is going to be your next Los Angeles City Council member in District 5.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. And then you're going to be on my podcast next week.
Oh, excellent. Okay. So, looking forward to it.
You'll be my guest. Yeah. I'll send you an email about that.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. We get to continue this wonderful conversation.
Yeah.
And friendship.
Yeah. So I'm so glad to have met you and know you.
Likewise, Molly. Yes. This is just the beginning. And I know that we're going to continue to just do great things for our communities and the world and bring people along because that's what this is all about. Sharing the love.
Yep, that's true.
All right.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I'm Myella Manassian, your host of Tiny Climate Challenge Podcast. If you like what you hear, don't forget to subscribe via Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, Stitcher, and Google Podcasts, or you can find me at tinyclimate.com. Remember that small changes can lead to big results in ensuring a tiny climate. Sending you all lots of eco love. Take care.
Now, for the first time in my life, I truly believe my dreams are possible.